Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, October 23rd, 2023. This morning I will talk about selecting church leaders. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, all honor and praise, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you set aside your divine prerogatives to come down and dwell among us. Forgive us when we get knotted up obsessing about our own rights and privileges, fighting among ourselves rather than paying attention to the example of humility set in Christ Jesus and the apostles, especially Paul. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures given to us that we might draw closer to you in our daily lives. In the power of your Holy Spirit, grant us ears that hear and eyes that see, that we might form a church more fitting to your example. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Ephesians 4, 4-7, we read, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." One distinctive of the Apostle Paul is to view the church through the lens of spiritual formation, whose originator and sustainer is the Holy Spirit. The church itself is composed of all members of God's household, to whom the Holy Spirit grants gifts without discrimination. Thus we are not surprised to read, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." This is Galatians 3:28. Nor are we surprised to find Paul writing a treatise on leadership to Timothy, whom he describes as "my true child in the faith." In her commentary on Paul's five ministry gifts, apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, Carol Tennant sees Paul's guidance to the Ephesians addressed to the entire church, not just elders and deacons. Paul's advice to families starts with the admonishment, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." This is Ephesians 5:1. This admonishment silently calls to mind, "Be holy, for I am holy." This is Leviticus 11:44, which Paul echoes in saying, "Walk as children of light." Note the allusion to children in both passages, so as to suggest that parents and other adults should be mindful of their influence in the family and their own formation. To Greeks, this children-centric language would be shocking, because the ancient family household normally tuned in to the authority of the patriarchal father, male head of household, who controlled all resources and protected family honor at the expense of other virtues. The closest relationship to the patriarchic father would be blood relatives, especially siblings, not marriage partners. The hierarchical relationships in the family funneled all power up to the father. The egalitarian structure of the family promoted by Paul radically departed from the ancient family norm. Relations between husband and wife, children and parents, slaves and owners were subject to reciprocity, respecting, loving, sharing, not domineering, in Paul's framework, and this new framework then became a model for the church. Paul's admonishment, however, began with a call to imitate God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living in perpetual harmony. The parallel between Paul's guidance on family and church leaders is obvious and cross-referenced with the family. For elders, that is, overseers, Paul admonishes, "An overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, honorable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for God's church?" This is 1 Timothy 3:2-5. Note that Paul begins his admonition for elders with general ethical guidance and then proceeds to cross-reference the family. His guidance for deacons follows the same template, starting with ethical criteria followed by household management fidelity. Missing from these criteria are characteristics more representative of an honor culture. An elder or deacon need not, for example, be a family household head, tribal leader, or civic leader, such as the elders of Israel. No license or other credentials are mentioned. If Paul or someone else were appointing leaders, loyalty requirements would be prominent, and the guidance might look more like a covenant between a lord and his vassals, or in contemporary terms, like a franchising agreement with rules about consultation, training, royalties, and/or regular purchases from approved suppliers. By contrast, Paul's leadership criteria flow from what we know from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, where he talks about Christian relationships within the household that flow from our relationship with God. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.